Hey, folks, Jack here. I forgot to hit the record button, so we missed the first couple minutes of our conversation with Maddie and Will. We'll pick up right here where Will is just explaining the details of the enrollment levels required to make a school classified as 4A versus 3A or 5A in the state high school sports standards. Otherwise, it's all here. This was a fun one. Forthwith, our interview with Will Love, head coach, and Maddie Schoening, assistant basketball coach for the Sandpoint High School girls basketball team.
Exactly. So, you know, I know that there's plenty of parents out there that understand and have lived through that situation, and lots of athletes that have done it. And so, you know, it is something that we have to face. Whereas, you know, when we look at schools like Coeur d'Alene or Lake City or even Lakeland, you know, those kids are usually 15 minutes away.
Clustered around.
Yeah.
Now, exactly. Maddie, were you a local or did you have to drive in?
I was local. I lived in town.
Okay. And what were your years at the high school?
I was here from 2012 to 2016.
Okay. And you had Coach Love for 1 year?
2 years.
2 years. Okay. So, and then you went on to University of Montana.
Yes.
Let's talk about the season.
Yes, let's do it.
Okay, when in the course of the season did you go, you know, we can dream big?
Well, I think with this group, we actually had talked about the idea of a state championship from the summer.
Last summer.
Okay. We felt that this team was going to be pretty good. We had several kids returning, and then we had a player come back that took a year off, and she was an excellent player. She's an all-state player, and so we had her back. And so I think with that kind, with our summer program, and the way that the kids were playing, we felt that, man, this team can be pretty good. And so throughout the season, we would talk about this is our goal, and this has been a goal for a long, long time.
Sure.
Whenever I have youth camps, we always point up to the gym, the banners, and ask them how many state championships has girls basketball won, how many state championships has boys basketball won, and they say none, and we say, well, this is what we're trying to accomplish. But you know, I think I'll let Maddie give her take on this, but for me, it was actually after a loss that we had against Timberlake. Timberlake's a 3A school there in Spirit Lake, and they are an excellent, excellent basketball program. They've won multiple state titles over the last decade, and they've got a really good team. And we beat them when they came up to Sandpoint, but then we played them a week and a half later, and we ended up having two of our starters, our senior captains, not play in that game. But we actually, for 31 minutes, we led the game, and we had an 8-point lead right at the end. We unfortunately gave that lead up, and we lost the game in overtime. But with that, with us being able to compete against a team like that, I was like, this is a pretty good team. So
pretty good indicator.
I think that we can do well at state because, you know, with the kids that we had out there, minus two of our better players, our senior captains, you know, they were still able to compete. Was there a time for you, Maddie, that you were like, this team could compete?
Yeah. I agree with that same game. That was where we talked about a lot. I think earlier in the season where we kind of set the tone for the whole season, though, was after the loss at Coeur d'Alene. We got our hineys kicked the whole time, and it stunk. We went in the locker room. It was a negative feeling. The girls were upset, but not as upset they should have been. And coach really got into him, which is good. Mm-hmm, and they needed that. And you could see, like, he was saying things like, this is the last time these seniors ever got to play Coeur d'Alene, and that's how you just played them. And they all were kind of like, wow, that's really how we want this season to go. This is their last season, and they worked their butts off. We need to work hard for them. And the rest of the team really started buying in. And then I would say kind of from there, they just had this almost swagger going on where they walked into a gym without fear playing a 5A team anymore or playing any team. They were like, yeah, we can win this game, and our senior captains really led the way for us. So I'd say that was the day that probably a switch
flipped. The Timberlake game.
The Coeur d'Alene game was where it was kind of like the responsibility was put on them almost. Like we had to get after them hard still throughout the season.
Right.
That was the last time that we ever had to have like such a hard conversation after a game. Yeah.
Yeah. Now Coeur d'Alene's a great team. They easily won the 5A state championship. So, you know, most teams would probably go away from that saying, okay, we got beat pretty good by this team, but we just knew that we could play better than that. And I think also just talking to the kids about the realization of for these seniors, this is the last time that they get to play Coeur d'Alene. This is the last time that they get to play Moscow. Just having all of our kids understand, you know, what that means. And then also that idea that, oh, I'm not just playing for myself. I got to play for these other kids. And you can see that they got the message, and there was a big change after that for sure.
What percentage of your schedule is a 4A or 4A teams as opposed to, you mentioned a 5A, you mentioned a 3A. So is what? 75%?
No. So there's only in our, so we combine with, there's districts in Idaho. So we're in District 1, and Lakeland is also in District 1. Moscow is in District 2. And so we combine together to play. But those are the only there's only three 4A schools, in the north part of the state. So kind of we're talking. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So we actually only play each other. We'll play each other four times during the regular season, and then we have our regional tournament. We're constantly jumping between playing 5A teams and then 3A teams usually. Sometimes we'll play some 2A schools as well. Mm-hmm. And then we also go, and so we played West Valley and Spokane, and we played East Valley.
Oh, you went out of state.
Yeah. And so we'll play some out-of-state games as well. It kind of depends from season to season. So like the previous year we went down to, during December, we drove down to Boise and we played in a tournament there so that we could play against some 4A and 5A schools there. So it just kind of depends on the season. This year we didn't have a big trip like that. So yeah, we only play Moscow and Lakeland, four times during the season.
So would Moscow be your farthest geographically that you travel?
No. So kind of confusing, here. And so the 4A and 5A schools are combined in a league, the Inland Empire League.
Okay.
And so through that arrangement, we'll play each other, you know, we're required to play each other so many times in a season. So to answer your question, Lewiston is typically the farthest that we go. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you ever play teams from out of state?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, this year we played, East Valley and West Valley from the Spokane area.
Mm-hmm.
And then we played at West Valley usually has a winter tournament that we've played at in the past. And it just, it just kind of depends on, you know, the season.
Yeah. As far as my awareness of amateur basketball, it's pretty much limited to the NCAA. Mostly the March and April tournament, where I always do poorly when I fill out my bracket.
I think everybody did this year too.
I think you weren't alone this year.
I know, unbelievable. But well, we can talk about that if we run out of other things to talk about. my embarrassment in that field. But is it? I mean, is it kind of a similar layout where you have a? How does your season affect your like place when you go to the state tournament? How does the season leading up to it kind of affect that?
It depends on our league game. Okay. So this year we went 4-0 in league against Moscow and Lakeland. So then we were in first, but then we have to play the tournament. So Moscow and Lakeland just played each other once, and they were the second and third place, and then we play the winner of that game. So Lakeland won, so then we had to play them that same week, the following week. And then it's the best of three. We beat them twice. And so we just got to go to state from there. And then depending on who we're playing throughout the season, we'll rank on max preps or seating down at state. And so this year we were the third ranked team. And that matters, you know, when there's the mm-hmm. eight teams going down there in that bracket, you want, mm-hmm. you know, obviously you don't want to be playing the hardest team right out of the gates. And so I think we actually ended up in a really good spot at state mm-hmm. and took care of business down there. And so, yeah, winning games early on definitely matters.
Yeah. So you had, the conference or whatever final
was the regional final
was in Lakeland.
No, it was actually because we went 4-0. We hosted the two games against Lakeland. Yeah, cool. So yeah, the two games that we won. So yeah,
and then you go down to Boise, is where the tournament takes place. Over how long?
So, as I like to tell people, you know, there's not very many schools in the United States that have to travel through two other states mm-hmm. to get to their state tournament.
Yeah.
So we will leave on Wednesday, and then, you know, that'll be our travel day down to Boise, and then we play Thursday, Friday, and then it's a double elimination tournament. Mm-hmm. You have to win to get in the championship game, but you hope to play on Saturday as well. So it can be up to 3 days. And then because of the situation of us playing in the state championship game, it didn't start till 6 p.m. and the charter buses won't drive in the evening. Yeah. So we were there from Wednesday, and then we left Sunday morning. So it can be a pretty long trip.
It's like a college business trip.
I shouldn't fast forward through the tournament. I was going to ask, how was Saturday night then while you're waiting for to leave on Sunday? But yeah. That sounds like that could be kind of fun to be it that far away and just
especially when you're winning.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh yeah.
It'd be awesome if you lost. Can't get out quick enough.
As Maddie said, mm-hmm. and she can talk to this a little bit more because she did this mm-hmm. for 4 or 5 years, is that it is kind of a business trip. Now, we try to put in some activities for the kids. Mm-hmm. So like the previous year, we went to the state capitol because a lot of kids hadn't actually been in the state capitol. Mm-hmm. So we always try to do, if we've got time, we try to do things like that. But essentially, you know, we're down there and this year kids were pretty focused. And so we were really thinking a lot about getting them rest, and then also allowing them time to do, say, like homework and stuff like that. So, mm-hmm. so basically, you know, we go down, and then it's okay, you guys got to be in bed by 10 o'clock, and then we got a team meal. This year, they would take them out on a team walk in the morning time after breakfast, and then we would just kind of hang out mm-hmm. the rest, and we'd have some meetings here and there as far as when we go over our scout of the other team and stuff. But it's not the games are awesome. The rest of it's not that glamorous because you're just kind of sitting around waiting.
Yeah. What of the tournament was the championship like the hardest? Was that the closest game or was predictably.
Yeah. Well, we made our first game, the quarterfinal game, we made that a lot closer than it should have been.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got out to a really good lead. But they we played Minico in the first round, and they have an excellent player. She's already got an offer from she's a junior, but has an offer at the University of Idaho and a few other schools, and I'm sure she's gonna get some more. But we did a really good job against her in the first half. And then in the second half, she showed like why she's one of the best players in the state and was making all kinds of shots and stuff. But, the championship game was, definitely a hard, hard game. 'Cause it was the Shelley team that we played. They have a girl that's committed to BYU. She's just a junior. She's 6 foot and she can play inside and outside and, just is a really good player. And then they have some great complementary players around her and they're well coached and they do a good job. So it was definitely a battle.
Speaking of well coached, I'd love to hear a little bit about your coaching philosophy in terms of, I'm a spectator mm-hmm. and of course I have opinions and you know, I watch, you know, I watch my beloved Fighting Irish, and, you know, there's nights when they're just dead cold, brick after brick after brick. And I think of, boy, if you could hit free throws and if you could play defense, that'll keep you in most games. Is that fairly accurate? Maddie, as a player, is that fairly accurate that if you, and of course limit turnovers, but you know, I'm sure that you as a player had some nights where the basket could have been 5 feet in diameter and you couldn't get the basketball in there.
Something that my dad worked with me when I was a kid for, and then what I did in college, and then now what I teach my players is you just got to do something that you know you can do. So if threes aren't falling, I know that I'm a great driver. I'll get to the rim, get a layup. I'll get a steal, go the other way, get a layup. Or a defensive stop, trying to bring the team together. Just do something that you know you can do so you kind of get your mojo going again. Your confidence is going back up. Because then the next time you take a shot, your brain's already going to be thinking like, oh, this is in. And so you're trying to think of how can my mindset flip back into knowing that, oh, it's I'm in a little bit of a slump right now, but I got to get out of it this game. It can't wait till next game. So we taught the girls a lot about that. And, you know, they had – there were kids that had cold nights, but luckily we had, like, a really solid team of a lot of girls, and so it depended on the night which girl or two or three of them would be stepping up. And then they were really good about finding her. You know, they were like, "We need to get so and so the ball. She's on one right now. Mm-hmm. We need to help out this person who's defending the best player on the floor. How can we help her and give her a break, or you know, set a hard screen on her defender so she isn't getting dogged the whole way down the floor because she's our point guard." So they played really selfless basketball. So they did a really good job.
The beauty of this team is that they did play selflessly, and so we had four kids that were averaging essentially double digits in scoring, and you know any given night there would be a girl, it would be one of them that would lead us in scoring, and the beauty of it was is they didn't care who was the leading scorer, you know, as long as we won, and you know. When Maddie played, we ended up with two third place trophies at state. But I think one of the big factors for why we couldn't kind of punch through is that Maddie, as great as a player as she was, she averaged 20 plus points per game. Is that we didn't really have the number of complementary players around her like we had this year with this team, and so. Kind of talking about, you know, when we knew that we could compete for a state title was just looking at that we had these four girls that could average, you know, that were averaging above 10 points per game. And then also we had some kids that were coming off the bench that were also scoring 13 points or 8 points and stuff like that. So on any given night, as Manny said, that you know we would have different people leading us in scoring, but the consistency with this team, to kind of bring it back to what you were asking about, was the defensive effort. This team played some really really great defense and got after teams. So. In those moments that the basket got really, really small, you know, we, in almost every game, except for maybe the Coeur d'Alene game and a couple of other ones, we were able to not let that team get out to as big of a lead because, you know, we might not be scoring the basket or the ball or scoring baskets, but the other team wasn't scoring that many either.
That many, you know, either. So. Yeah. How do you feel? Is there much pressing going on the high school level? I mean, in terms of, you know, okay, you're not hitting. Okay, you talk about defense. Why not put pressure on their ball carriers? You know, as they go across the court. I mean,
yeah, definitely. One of the things that I think people that came and watched this team and, you know, and Maddie can speak to this as well, kind of through her experiences, is the game has gotten so much quicker and there's so much more skill involved. I was talking to a coach in our league and he, you know, they had a really good team, but they didn't have ball handlers. And so
essentially
what we did was we pressed their team, you know, because we knew that they didn't have, Not necessarily that they didn't have a ball handler. It's that you have to have multiple ball handlers. And so,
especially with the press.
Yeah, especially with the press. And so with this team, you know, we would have, there's times that we would have five kids that could bring the ball up the court. So
amazing.
If you're trying to press us, then we would just, with like a double team. Yeah. Then we would just pass to another person and they would bring that up. And so, you know, I think that's a key to, you know, basketball at any level is having multiple, but especially at the high school level, especially in high school girls basketball, is you have to have multiple kids that can bring the basketball court up, because we haven't had that. And that's when we would really struggle.
Yeah. I'd like to ask Maddie, you know, you've been here as a player, then you went away to U of M, you're back. Has the game changed that much? And by me, you know, Will mentioned quicker. They seem to be. Are there things that you identify now that you go, wow, this is different than when I was playing at Sandpoint High School?
Yes, definitely. And I give a lot of that credit to the young kids program that started here, Futures. I grew up in Lewiston.
Okay.
I moved here just for high school. And so when I moved here, there was no basketball really opportunities until seventh grade, middle school, really. There was maybe some rec before that. So I was playing with kids that just had started playing 2 years ago. And so when I had started playing when I was like five, you know, so I had this like really wide range of abilities and skills. And I was like having to rely on these kids to be able to bring the ball up, or, you know, being able to hit a shot, being able to make a layup, being able to not travel or catch a ball, like,
or set a pick and not move.
Yeah, just things. Yeah, exactly. Just things that by high school you should be doing. And so when I came back, and this is right around the time that all those, so Future started, I want to say probably right around when I was in high school. So I'm like right around this time is when those kids are now coming through the program and we can see it.
See the
and
difference.
So they are just like, I can verbally say something to them and they'll know what I'm saying. And mm-hmm. it's nice that I don't have to walk them through it. And so then, especially when we're getting to the varsity level, we're doing way more advanced things than I was able to do as a varsity team. We had to do very simple drills. I mean, Coach Ward talked about all the time. He's like, we're able to do things with these kids that I wasn't even able to do with your team. And so the Future program is huge, and it's growing. I mean, there's just more and more little girls basketball still going on, and they're more excited about it. I think us winning this year got them even more excited about it. But, yeah, the level of play is way better than when I was in high school.
Yeah, One example or kind of anecdote on this is that in most cases in Idaho, and then also in talking to other coaches around the country, this is you're seeing this across the country, is that not as many girls are playing at the high school level. And so, for example, traditionally, you would have three teams, especially at the higher levels or the higher classifications. Well, Coeur d'Alene, Lake City, Moscow, they didn't have a third team. They were only able to field two teams. We had 34 girls in the program, so we easily had three teams. Unfortunately, we couldn't find games for that third team. It was hard to get that, but we had kids joining us as late as like a month left in the season because they just wanted to be involved. And they also had that experience growing up of playing basketball. And so, you know, it's been really neat to see, is, you know, as Maddie pointed out with Sandpoint Future. And then there's the basketball school that Darren Leish does here in Sandpoint. Some other opportunities, a lot of kids get opportunities to play. And of probably those 34 kids, there's probably only four of them that hadn't ever played basketball before. And so we were able to actually take kids from that freshman team, and they were able to go against our varsity kids. And of course the varsity kids would dominate, but on the other hand, they were able to compete. So it wasn't just a total domination, but anyway, so, you know, that is neat to see. And there's a lot of people in the community that have helped us get to this point. So it wasn't just, we all of a sudden got kids, you know, 10 kids.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
And community.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
We are here on the morning show with Coach Will Love and Assistant Coach Maddie Schoening. The 4A championship girls team this past February?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
February. And I hope that some of them are listening out there.
I hope so, too. We wanted to have some girls come in, but it's spring break.
Yeah. They're off on the beaches in Florida.
Exactly.
Here's a song that goes out to them. Play it, Jack.
That's Queen. We Are the Champions. Appropriate song for our guests this morning. You're listening to The Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY. I'm Jack. Across from me is Jim. And here in the studio with us are Will Love and Maddie Schoening. Will is the head coach and Maddie assistant coach of the 4A champion, state champion girls basketball team, the Sandpoint High School Bulldogs. And we are talking about that tournament. We were in our little musical break there. We were talking about girls basketball in general and how things are going. I have more questions about the tournament itself.
Let's move off this to women's basketball in general,
which is a big topic.
It's a big topic. So let's focus in on this team and the Sandpoint High School.
So we had asked a little bit about Will's coaching philosophy. Okay, at halftime in the championship game, were you guys up or down?
Down four.
We were down four, and eventually we got down seven in the second half.
So at halftime, what's your what do you say to the girls? Relax, have fun? Is it get serious?
It depends on the game. In this game, we were playing really, really well. So I think, it was pretty relaxed. As Maddie said, this team had a confidence with them. It wasn't an arrogance. It was just a confidence. And so, I think we just talked about a couple of adjustments that we could make. And then, that we were only 4 points down just meant that we could come out and hit two baskets and things would change. Mm-hmm. It didn't happen like that. They were able to get the lead up to seven. And then we took a timeout and Maddie made a little bit of a change, what we were doing on the offensive end. But my big message to the kids, and this is in any game, is that when they get down or it's close, it's like, this is the fun part of playing basketball. This is the fun part of being in sports. It's not beating teams by 30. You're going to have a lot of laughs and stuff like that, but it's going to be kind of those empty calories, if you will. Mm-hmm. It's these moments that you're going to look back on and just remember, And so it was just a little bit of pep talk, confidence builder. Shoot your shots, and then we hit a three coming out of that timeout, and then I think what was it, a 14-2 run that we went on or something like that, and it just kept building.
That's a heck of a run. What were you gonna say, Maddie?
Yeah, going in at halftime we were down four, and like the coaches are a little bit behind the girls already in there, and I was like, oh my gosh, are we gonna get this done? We're talking, what can we do? What can we change? And then we walk into the locker room, and they're just sitting there like, this game is still ours. They had no doubt. And so then I was like, wow. I never doubted in their heads that they thought that they weren't going to win. They knew. I feel like the whole time that level of confidence was there. And then coming out, they hit a three, but they didn't care. And, our defender was defending Cannon, who's the 6-foot guard. By the way, we don't have a 6-footer, really.
Across the board, yeah.
None. Like, we're all just kind of one height. And so when we asked our defender, she was always defending the other team's best players all year. We're like, are you good to do this? She goes, oh, yeah, got it. And, she still scored. But we said, that's going to happen. We just have to limit her. And she, I think, came out, hit the three, and we were down seven. And then we made the call, midway through the third quarter. We had to make a change. And so we did that, went on that big 14-2 run, and that put us in between, the middle of the fourth quarter, where we were then in the driver's seat, and it was nice. We were up, seven at that point. And they were having to come to us to foul, and we were having to take care of the ball and keeping it away from them, and it felt... I think the girls loved that part. They flourished in feeling now you guys have to come to us, because you could just see the whole Shelley crowd. They were across from us. You just go dead. They weren't cheering anymore. They were just looking so bleak. And Coach Love goes, do you see them right now? I was like, yeah, are they okay? I think they were the number one seed. And so everyone obviously expected that to be the way it was. And we were kind of just the underdogs. I mean, being from the North.
What seed was Sandpoint?
We were the third seed.
Third seed. Yeah. Okay.
So they were obviously favored to win.
A 14-2 run will.
Yeah.
Certainly change the flow of the game. Mm-hmm. What does the team look like next year? How many are leaving and going on to college?
So we should be really good again next year. We only lose two seniors this year. Now those two seniors are all league players and are just great, great Bulldogs. They've contributed a lot to the program. Kelsey Cessna and Daly Driggs, and we are definitely going to miss them. But
where are they going?
Kelsey actually is about to have knee surgery. Kind of a tough story for her. She had a knee injury her sophomore year early in the season, and so she missed that. Got the ACL. Surgery, and then she came back her junior year. The surgery didn't work. Mm-hmm. She ended up re-tearing it, and so this was kind of in the spring, summertime, and then the doctor said, well, you're gonna have to get surgery again, and she said, well, I'm gonna play soccer and I'm gonna play basketball. She was all league in both, and just a remarkable situation that she was able to play both seasons at that, because this girls soccer got to state as well, and so for her to play at that level on a knee that needed surgery was just amazing. And then Daly, she's just one of the toughest players that we've had in our program ever. I mean, she is just hard-nosed, and she was the one that was guarding Shelly's best player, and she was the kind of kid that, okay, that girl's 6 foot, she's going to BYU, do you want to guard her, Daly? Yes, I do. You know, she's that kind of girl. And then
the
also
challenge
just,
has been,
yeah, just led us in assists and was just a great all-around player. But we return two players that we just found out yesterday were made the 4A all-state team. And so they'll be back, Aaliyah Strock and Carly Banks. And then we have just a lot of good bench depth coming back. And then
which is important.
Exactly. And then we've got kids that played really well at the lower levels that will be coming up. So we should be pretty strong.
Now, will it be a different kind of coaching knowing that you've got targets on your back? You know, that everybody knows that next year Sandpoint was the state champion.
Yeah. To be honest with you, we'll definitely have that. But we've been kind of used to that over the last decade. We've been very fortunate to have won or gone to state 9 out of the last 10 years. And then we usually will play some of the 5A teams like Lake City and Coeur d'Alene during the summer. And we've actually beat them in the summertime. And so I guess what I'm saying is that we don't usually walk into a gym without the full attention.
Swagger.
Yeah. Without the full attention of the opposition. Like, yeah. You know, they're aware that we've had this really good run. So a win against Sandpoint with our league opponents is a huge, huge win. Mm-hmm, with the 3A classification, it's like we beat a 4A. And then, like I said, with the 5As, they have a lot of respect for our program because, you know, of the success that we've had. So you know, I think that is definitely, there'll be a little bit more, as we walk into the gyms with that, the biggest concern is that, you know, we don't get complacent, you know, our players don't get complacent. The coaching staff doesn't get complacent and that say, okay, we won this state title. We've done it. You know, we have done it, but it's like, well, we've got next year too. Yeah. No. Mm-hmm. So we have to keep that in mind. Mm.
What is the relation? Like when you guys play some teams 4 times in a season, and it's a contact sport.
It starts to get chippy.
Yeah. So what's the relationship with, like, especially with those players who you're seeing 4 times a year or so? Do you guys know their names? You know, I mean, is it a friendly kind of thing between the opposing players, or is it pretty much a heated,
Maddie is
unfriendly
smiling.
Kind of relationship? What was what's your experience, Maddie?
Well,
first let me jump in here. One of my favorite videos of Maddie playing college basketball is her just like flipping this girl completely over onto the ground and stuff like that. And it was a Big Sky player. So anyway, she approaches it a little bit different, maybe.
I teach the girls to play physically for sure. Uh-huh. Obviously, we know their players really well. They know us, and you can see. I would have to say our girls did a really good job of always like taking the higher road, because their girls would get chippy. I mean, getting beat multiple times and like against Lakeland, it was a last second free throw that beat them at I almost called it Moosebumps. Battle for the Paddle.
Battle for the Paddle,
And so there, I would say definitely between them and Lakeland, there was a lot of beef. But even with Moscow, you know, like playing that team so many times, you know each other. And yeah, it just naturally starts to happen. Social media got involved at one point, which was kind of funny. And then but our girls, I would say every time we stepped on the floor, they didn't even care about that. Like we'd be going through the lines afterwards and giving high fives, and they'd be saying stuff and our girls wouldn't. And like, and I told them after the game, I think at home, I was like, I'm proud of you guys, because it's hard to let somebody talk and say anything to you and not retaliate. But also then I think it was eventually respect, and we respect those coaches a lot, and we know that there's going to be that battle and you know, playing the same person a lot of times is hard. And I felt that through my years and into college. I still have players that aren't my favorite. But it was always a fun battle to play against them.
Did you play in college with any of the people who you'd seen in high school?
Yes, especially U of I players. Yeah. Seen quite a few of them in Eastern Washington. Mm-hmm. Grace Kircher played for Eastern Washington, who I played with in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, for some reason, it was just more of a battle between her and I of like, who could be the best standpoint player? It was kind of fun. So it is fun to kind of have those teams where you're like, I really, like, for us, Montana State, that was a team that we always wanted to be. That was our big rival. So for the girls here, it's definitely Moscow and Lakeland. Like, we say every year, we want to go 4-0 in league, and then we want to win the regional tournament, and then we want to go to state. And so they had expectations kind of past just winning districts this year. They were like, no. And not only do we want to go to state and win a game, this year was the first time I think that they've said, no, we want a state title. It's not just like going and getting a trophy. They wanted the trophy. They wanted the blue one. So. Mm-hmm. They rose to the occasion for sure.
Go ahead, Will.
Maddie's point with our girls, one of the things that we've been fortunate with the last few years is that prior to this year we'd won the sportsmanship award at the state basketball tournament, and there's a lot of factors that go into that, but ultimately, you know, I think that's one thing that the kids have identified that they want to be known for is their sportsmanship. Now, we talk about, hey, you know, sportsmanship doesn't mean, you know, like you're still competing. That's part of sportsmanship, is that you're out there giving your best, but you're also, you know, not getting into this other stuff that can kind of distract from the purpose. And I think, from probably our vantage point, as coaches watching some of those other teams, they got a little bit more involved in that other stuff that kind of ultimately distracted them from, you know, their purpose. So, you know, I think it's a big credit to our kids that they actually identify sportsmanship as one of the things that they want to be known for.
That's a hot topic, especially in light of what's going on right now between LSU and Iowa. Trash talking and gestures, and I'm not a big fan of it. I don't like it in the men's sports, and I don't like it in any sport. I mean, you've got to respect the game, irrespective of who you're up against, I would think.
Yeah. Is there trash talking out on college basketball courts, Maddie?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Were you involved, Maddie?
Not intentionally. No, not as much.
It has been interesting to watch, you know, kind of the women's NCAA tournament. Obviously, it had popularity that it's never seen.
Yes.
You know, and I think, you know, some people say, well, that you're talking about a women's sport for 3 days. Like, it's going on all the talking head shows and stuff like that. That publicity maybe not as bad, that you got people talking about it because it is going to garner some interest. But, it is also kind of tough to watch as a coach, because I know, we want our players to be emotional out on the court, but we also don't want them to belittle other people. Mm-hmm. And I just know, with our program, if we would have seen anything like that, that girl would have gotten a stern talking to and say that, this is just what we don't do. But I also understand at the college level, especially with the transfer portal, maybe the messages that you're trying to get across in the past, or you have gotten across in the past to your players, maybe a little bit harder when you've got people just essentially coming in for a year to play at a school.
Where I see the most emotion that I really enjoy, particularly in the women's game, is when a player takes a charge. She's pounding the floor, and that's got to hurt. Mm. That's where I see the real emotional. Except if you hit the winning basket at the end of the game from half court, something like that.
Yeah, Jim, it's a really fine line, and it's something actually that we. Playing without emotion is something that we actually dealt with last year. And it was something that we had to address with our team, is that we don't want you to get to the point where you're playing crazy, like, because you're so emotional. But on the other hand, if you kind of bottle that in, that's not a good thing too. We had a good team last year that qualified for state, and, we were expecting to potentially win a game, and we went 2-0 at state. But the big thing that we saw is that the kids just really bottled up their emotions. If something went wrong, they just kind of walked away from it. If something exciting happened, they had essentially the same expression. And so, that's something that as a coach, I also had to kind of work on, was just showing my emotion a little bit more with the kids. And so, we would do this thing. I would walk in with a bottle of water and start spraying all of them. At first, they were kind of upset because they're like, what is he doing? And then by the end of the season, it was like I had to get ready, because I knew I was going to get a shower of water from all the players. And it became just kind of this emotional opportunity for us just to show that emotion of excitement together.
I'd be sort of curious. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but after having watched the NCAA women's tournament, what's your in-game coaching style? There's Robin Mulkey for LSU who...
I got to talk to my stylist.
Okay. And on the other hand, there's the coach for Virginia Tech. I don't remember his name, but he just crosses his arms and just watches and, are you in between there, or are you talking to referees? Are you engaging? Asking Maddie.
Yeah. Well, it would be interesting to get with, Maddie's take. I'm going to put her on the spot.
We're running out of time. Thank you, Maddie. <Well.
laughs> No, Coach Love doesn't sit. We don't save him a chair down on the bench. I'm usually the one sitting on the end because he doesn't sit. He's usually up and down the sideline, maybe yelling at the girls, yelling at a ref. He's in it, and, he'll walk up, ask us questions, walk back. And so he's very active in that sense. The rest of us have to stay seated. So,
which is a rule.
Yeah. Which is a rule. We let him do that. Mm-hmm. But I would say he's a good mix of, he'll be calm and cool and collected in a timeout situation. And then maybe in a game, if someone's not getting a rebound or hustling back, he'll be getting on him. And so I would not say he's the one sitting there crossing his arms and sitting down. Because we played a team at state whose coaches did that. And it was just kind of weird to watch. It was like, how are the girls supposed to reciprocate your behavior? If you're looking into it and engaged, like, they're going to reciprocate that on the court, and that's what you would want. So I wouldn't say he's like full Kim Mulkey, but he definitely is in it.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. I think
I like that full Kim Mulkey.
Yeah, I think over the 5 years that I've been a head coach, I've learned a lot. And so, you know, I try to balance that, try to find that fine line, and you have to do it. It's got to be different with each group of girls
sure,
as well.
Because
each group takes on its own identity. And so if you're going to try to coach the same with every group, I think that's where you're going to really struggle. But like I said, I think with this group, they're just naturally quiet. Like, I mean, we would always be like, you got to talk more. You got to talk more. And they just wouldn't do it. It wasn't like they were trying to be like, oh no, coach, we know better. But it was just, that was their nature.
That was their nature.
Yeah. And so, you know, like I said, one of the things that I had to do is I had to kind of draw some of that emotion out of them a little bit more so that.
And channel it.
Yeah.
Draw it out and channel it to make it, you know, productive for the entire team.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
Yeah. Probably a little bit different than, say, like Mulkey 2 is that we play a conceptual style of basketball. So we are not running a lot of set plays. In fact, we don't know what's going to be happening most of the time when the ball comes down. Mm-hmm. And so that leads to a lot of ownership by the kids. And we also, with that, we have to be ready for mistakes, you know, and coach them when there are some mistakes or point out things that maybe they're not seeing. But, you know, ultimately we put a lot of trust in the girls to go out there and do that. And as I've been telling people, one of the beauties of the state championship game is that we hardly made any calls. We made a couple of adjustments, and we had a game plan going in.
Right.
But other than that, you know, it wasn't most of the stuff that we were talking about was not, okay, run this play. It was more like, okay, let's just make this little bit of adjustment, see what they're doing here, see what happens.
Well, the hour is almost up.
It is. We might go long.
I had so much more to ask, but come back?
Yeah.
Okay. When does the next season start?
Tuesday.
Yeah.
No, so we will start to do some individual work with some players. We're allowed to work with two kids at a time. Mm-hmm. So we'll do some development stuff on that end starting on Tuesday. And then after the spring sports season gets over, which is in mid-May, mm-hmm. then that's when we'll start our summer season. And so we go pretty hard for about 6 weeks. We play in a league in Spokane. And then we'll also go probably to a team camp or two. And so the kids end up playing about the same amount of games that they do during the regular season. So, I think, you know, to kind of go back to the point about like Sandpoint Future and, you know, all the people that have been involved is that, you know, to be able to win a state championship in any sport right now, it takes a lot of commitment by
year round commitment.
Essentially. Yeah. There's very little time where there isn't basketball opportunities for these girls. And so, you know, Maddie is someone that went to the University of Montana. I mean, she was playing basketball essentially all year long. And so we've got some kids that are on that track that are doing that. But then just also, you know, like I said, we've got a 6 week summer season mm-hmm. that, you know, we play close to 15 or between 15 and 20 games usually. So it's a lot of work.
Busy. Yep. Well, can we rattle your cage, let's say in September, October, and have you come back and having gone through the summer, heading into the new season, what do things mm-hmm. look like and that sort of thing?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, we were kind of talking about this off air, but you know, I think people that I talked to that came down or were kind of forced to come down and watch us play, mm-hmm. all of a sudden they became fans of our kids. And, you know, I think there's a lot of people that kind of have, we'll talk basketball, like a picture of what girls basketball is like in their mind. And I would just say it's totally, totally different now. And, you know, and so for us, the opportunity to talk about these girls, to get people to come down and watch us play. Yes, we'd be happy to come down in September and October to get people.
What is it like to attend a game? When if you want to go to a girls basketball game in Sandpoint, when does that take place usually?
Mid-November through essentially early February, we have games going on. It's a heck of a bargain. It's like $5 to get in. I think if you tell people that you're a senior, even I think the cutoff for being a senior is 50 or whatever.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that.
You'll get in for free because we let senior. Yeah, seniors get in for free. So anyway, but you know, especially when we get the band there and when it's a game, say like against Lakeland or Moscow, those can be pretty intense. And then if we can get like the 5As, there's some talent on those teams that you're probably going to be seeing on ESPN. And so the opportunity to come and watch these girls play at the high school level is pretty neat, especially when you're sitting on late at night watching a game and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I saw her play at the Sandpoint High School gym. Yeah. So
cool. I go way back with women's basketball back to the late 60s. I went to graduate school. I mean, it was not a sport where I grew up in northern Indiana, but when I went to graduate school at the University of Nebraska, we got the Iowa basketball games women, and it was 3-on-3 half court. You had three offensive players, and they could not cross the center line, and you had three defensive players. And that was just amazing. And that's where I fell in love with women's basketball. and I'm really happy to see it getting the attention it deserves and the recognition that the players in terms of the skill set. So Coach Love and Assistant Coach Schoening, thank you guys so much. And thank you for all that you're doing for the community here in Sandpoint and at the high school. It's wonderful.
Well, thank you for having us on. And yeah, I just want to echo what you just said as far as kind of dovetail off that is that we couldn't do this without the community support. And so, you know, we talk about that with our kids about playing for Sandpoint and all the people that do support them that they don't see. And so just, you know, a big thank you to everybody out there, you know, even just allowing us to play this game, because I know there's a lot of life lessons that these girls are going to take with them, you know, that might not come up in the classroom.
You have one sitting right next to you. You bet. Okay, thank you so much. We've gone a little bit over, and that's the way life is.
Sometimes it happens.
88.5 KRFY. Sometimes you set, you know, a plan, a play in with the girls, you know, and sometimes you wing it. We're winging it.
And then sometimes you go into overtime, right?
It is overtime.
Overtime.
Hey, it's our annual meeting is tomorrow, by the way. Must not forget to mention that.
5:30, come on out. 5:30, 7:30.
At the Music Conservatory at their cool new Little Carnegie.
Little Carnegie.
So come on out and say hi to your favorite radio personalities like myself and Jim will be there, I hope. And okay, thanks guys so much for coming in. We're late. Stay tuned for Bird Note and Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long after that, right here on 88.5 KRFY Ponder A.